ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER101. We are in our medical news of the week. We're talking about the state of health of our mental health system. Earlier this week, Obama hosted a conference on mental health at the White House and to address this kind of looming crisis. And to discuss this with us, I want to welcome my next guest, Dr. Mary Fitzgerald. She's a professor of clinical psychiatry at Louisiana State Health Department of Psychiatry in Shreveport. Welcome, Dr. Fitzgerald. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for asking me.
So, you know, we've had these, shootings and mass tragedies in this country, there's always the discussion of guns, but then right along with that, there's always the discussion of mental health in this country. And, I applaud the president for talking about it. But it's a real problem. And, in the ER, we've known this crisis has been going on for some time because anyone who's worked a shift, who's had, several psychiatric patients sitting in their ER, sometimes for days waiting to get bed somewhere, know about the shrinking services we have in this country. So can you address that a little bit about how long it's been going on and what kind of a problem it is?
Absolutely. It started back in the 1960s because they felt that we'd have all these wonderful new medicines, and so people would not need state psychiatric facilities, so they developed more outpatient facilities. But that has been gradually decreasing many times due to lack of funding. A lot of states have stopped their number of inpatient state psychiatric beds. Some states have closed off state facilities completely. In Louisiana, we are down to very minimal beds. When you couple that with the fact that often they're not group homes, they're not supervised settings, there's no place really to send people who have serious mental illness. There's a shortage of psychiatrists. Most patients, in fact, are seen by primary care, and often they do wind up in the emergency room. And a lot of that is due to the fact that a certain percentage of people with mental illness wait and they think they can get by without medicines, or they don't want to see a psychiatrist. They may not have insurance coverage in spite of the parenting laws. And there's often, if they do have a psychiatrist in town, they do have coverage. They may still have to wait 3 months in order to get in. And then you couple that with the fact of the easy availability of the synthetic marijuana, all the other bizarre drugs such as bath salts and people making meth. Right. You have all kind of things that are going to wind up in the emergency room. So, yes, there's definitely a crisis. There is a shortage of coverage both on the state level and on the private level, and all of that needs to be addressed. It's not just insurance coverage, it's also facilities, and it's also the number of psychiatrists.
Yeah, and, couple that, so it's like a perfect storm that's kind of all coming together and developed. And people don't think about it. If you said to someone, what if somebody had a heart attack or a terrible hip fracture and you couldn't get them a bed or treatment in any hospital and they just sat in the emergency department day after day, people would be appalled. But do you think because it's a mental health problem, there's this big stigma attached to mental health issues, too. Don't you think that's part of the issue?
Absolutely. And what I frequently hear is, well, I don't have mental illness, and I don't have anybody in my family who has mental illness, but that's not the point. You don't know that you're not going to have a child who comes up with ADHD, or perhaps you're going to have a parent or another family member who develops dementia. Those are all forms of mental illness that need to be addressed. And certainly we do need coverage. I have people who are happy with the way that our government and the state is handling the mental, decrease in the beds, and they think, oh, that's good. I don't need mental illness coverage, but you don't know that. And then there are also social issues involved. I've been doing psychiatry many years, and when you see things on TV that just about glorify cutting yourself and forms of behavior like that, you're going to get some changes in the psychiatric conditions which present.
Right. Now, so the Bureau of Labor and Statistics estimated that access to mental health in this country is worse than any other type of medical service. Now, supposedly, this Affordable Care Act is going to mandate mental health services, but it sounds like if there's not enough facilities or beds or not enough doctors, you can mandate all you want. It's like what I've always said about the Affordable Care Act. You can mandate care, but if there's nobody to give the care, you know, you're giving access to insurance, but if there's nobody to give the care, it's not going to help.
There are problems with the medicines also. We either have the older medicines, which are effective, but they likely have more side effects, or we have the newer medicines, which are too expensive, and then we have some older medicines which are no longer being made because they're not making money. For instance, there is a form of a long-acting antipsychotic, which you're probably familiar with. Most physicians are. It's been around for probably 50 years, called Prolixin Decanoate. And most people have used that. Many people with serious mentally ill have used that. And we've been notified that the manufacturer is no longer making it, so we're not going to be able to provide that. So we have all kind of problems.
It's true. And let me tell you, that isn't just also with mental health, because there are critical, you know, drugs that we use in codes as ER doctors. And when it's not profitable to make any more, you know, no one's watching how many generic companies are making them. And there's critical shortages. We could do a whole show on drug shortages.
Yes,
so that is another issue. But so, you know, what do you see happening? How is this going to change? Are the legislature aware of that? I mean, it's great there's a mandate to, you know, cover mental health, but how are we going to get over that hurdle to get people help? Because it's hard. I mean, you know, working in an ER, I've seen it time and time again, and, you know, your heart breaks for some of these people that can't get help.
Yes, and it's also dangerous them staying in the ER, because an ER is not set up to be a psychiatric facility. So that has lots of problems. There's still some holes in the parity law, so I don't think that everyone is covered, and that can cause some problems. We need more psychiatrists. There's an estimated shortage of all physicians, because a lot of the physicians are going to be reaching age 65, and we don't have enough physicians in general. We need more psychiatrists. One of the newer alternatives, which is currently in play, is that there's something called integrated care, which is where you have case managers and psychiatrists who follow patients in primary care offices, and they take care of some of the patients in primary care. So newer modalities such as that can be effective, but we also need provisions for the seriously mentally ill, such as more state facilities. We need more outpatient care. It's going to take a many-pronged approach.
Yeah, and I think it takes, you know, physicians working with, all mental health experts, and working with the legislature to really see what can be done, because, you know, budgets are being cut back right and left.
Yes, they are.
For mental health. So a serious and interesting problem, but something that comes into the forefront every time we have some kind of crisis and violence. I want to thank my guest for offering her perspective, and you've been listening to ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well.